Praise the Lord.
Amen. I thank and praise God for giving me this wonderful opportunity to be here in the presence of the church. God is good at all the time. Amen. Pastor told me that I need to speak for the youth or the young people. But this being the first Sunday, my message is for everybody who can understand English, and that is for everybody, I guess. Amen. I'm not a gifted speaker or anything like that. I just speak the eternal truth. Amen. And the Word of God is not new. It is only renewed by the Holy Spirit. And when I speak, I'm going to speak a very familiar passage. And it's for very simple. It's not at all difficult to understand. And I'm not trained or anything at all. And I sometimes wonder why Pastor chose me, but I'm thankful for the church, for the committee, for recognizing me in this moment. I'm going to read a passage from, and if you have your Bibles, you can with me. And I think Pastor laid the context slightly when he read that this was a book read by the Ethiopian eunuch. I think all of you know what book I'm talking about. You can take the book of Isaiah, prophet of Isaiah, as he wrote it, chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. And, all right, Sandeep, go ahead. Amen. Thus says the word of God. I have heard many sermons, and I'm sure when I picked up the passage and when you guys have seen it, you might have some side notes written. You might have heard many sermons, and in fact, I've heard a sermon spoken from this pulpit from this passage as well. I believe, I know for the fact that why is, you know, I've got this question many a times from young people when I go to minister. Why do you need the Old Testament? Why is it relevant? And the answer to this, the Old Testament is written about certain experiences for people who had. And you can correlate, you can relate to the same experience, and that Word of God becomes true in your life when you read that. Otherwise, there is a reason why the Old Testament is there. The Old Testament is the covenant written, and the New Testament is the covenant fulfilled. Amen? So you need to understand the covenant, you need to read the Old Testament as well. There are many churches who don't believe in the Old Testament, sadly, and that is Paul's church. We believe in the Old Testament and the New Testament in the fulfillment of the word. And here we read one of the most common passages. This is Isaiah's, in fact, if you were to look at it, Isaiah's first chapter is supposed to be chapter 6. The introduction of Isaiah's ministry is chapter 6. 1 to 5 is actually written after Isaiah chapter 6. But Isaiah, in the order he's written it, he's recounting his experience, and he's written chapter 6 after 1 to 5 because he's recounting his experience of when he started his ministry. If you ask me what is the relevance of today, okay, first of all, I wish each and every one of you a very happy new year on behalf of my family as well. I'm sorry, I forgot about it. But I wish you a happy new year. Amen. Have you ever heard anybody wish you a miserable year? No. No, anybody? Oh, Alan just wished Sandeep right now. But nobody has ever wished you have a miserable year. Yes or no? No? Anybody? Anybody who has wished, he just wished you, I know. But anybody who has wished you have a miserable year ahead. Every year, secular people, they will be saying, have a happy new year. But you know what the Bible teaches us? In Romans 8 verses 22, it says that the world is groaning with sin. It is in the birth pains, and it is waiting for this life to end. It is degrading, meaning The life is not actually a new year or a best wishes for a new year. It's expected to get worse and worse and worse year by year. Oh, I don't know how many will say amen. That reality, if you study the word of God, because all of that is leading to our Lord coming soon. The world is getting worse year by year. It's getting miserable year by year. It is getting uncertain year by year. Anybody here can predict what will happen tomorrow? I will give you $1 million. There's nobody. The years are getting worse. And that is where we stand at the beginning of 2024. The year is going to get bad. It may get good as well. It is ups and downs. Yes, but the years will get miserable. And what is relevant to the context here? It is exactly the same thing Isaiah is going through. If you read the first verse in that, chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died. Amen. Just hold on there. In the year that King Uzziah died. I want you to understand the context of where Isaiah is standing and he is writing this and why it is relevant to us today. Isaiah is standing in a place and he's saying, I have seen the reign of Uzziah. He was a good king to a certain part of his life. Towards the end of his life, it was not so good, but more or less, it was favorable situation. And he is standing at the point where King Uzziah has died and the throne of Israel is Judah is actually empty. And they don't know who is the king who's going to come there. And they don't know if the king is going to be a good king or a bad king. It is a lot of uncertainty, and Isaiah is standing in the midst of that. If you look at that context today, we are entering into 2024 not knowing what it's going to be. Is it going to be a good year or a bad year? We do not know. And hence, we are similar like Isaiah. Amen. Amen. If you don't, that is the truth. And I'm going to tell you three things which have allotted to me. I'm going to tell you three things which Isaiah did in that and relevant, which we need to do exactly. And the first thing which Isaiah did is, I will see what Isaiah saw. I will see what Isaiah saw. What did Isaiah see? Verse 1, it says, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, and seated on a throne. No hallelujah coming. Let me say that. I saw the Lord, seated high and exalted, and the Lord sitting on a throne. Amen. What you and I need to see is we need to lift our spiritual eyes and see His Lord is sitting on the throne today as well. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what we need to see. Our Lord is still sitting on the throne. These are all circumstances which are there before us. He, the high and exalted. If it is a true Christian, a redeemed believer, if he reads this word, the sweat will run from his feet. The praises will rise in his heart. And it will be as a shout. That God is still sitting on the throne. The Pharaoh came and the Pharaoh went. The kings of Israel came and the kings of Israel went. The Philistines came and the Philistines went. The Babylonians came and they went as well. The Romans came and they were also gone. The Tsar, Hitler, the presidents, the governments, they all came and they all went. But one person who is still sitting on the throne, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord is still sitting on the throne.
Praise God. This government will come, this government will go next year. These governments of the world fall, some will rise. It doesn't matter. Our Lord is sitting on the throne. When you take it to a personal context, our current problem, persecution will come next year. We don't know. We're thinking we're comfortable, maybe not. Difficulty will come. Diseases will come. Sickness will come. Job security will not be there. Some of you will have jobs, some of you may not have jobs. Family struggles will come. There will be rejection at times. But I wanted to tell you one. Despite all that, all you need to do is lift your eyes up and see my Lord is sitting on the throne. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is still on the throne. We need to see what Isaiah saw. We need to see what Isaiah saw. And I want to tell you a small warning as well. For those of us who see it, there is joy in our hearts which will be rising. But there is also, I want to tell you, for those who have not seen the Lord, there is should be fear. Because there is going to be a time, and I believe a very short time, that throne which my Lord is sitting, he will get up. He is going to rise up and going to stand up. And from that day, that throne which was a throne will change to a throne of judgment. Praise be to God. The world is waiting and waiting, and creation is groaning for that. But I want to pray, if you have not seen this Lord yet, it is high time you change your life and come and see what I say. The second thing I want to tell you what it is, you need to not only see what Isaiah saw, but to sense what Isaiah sensed. You need to sense what Isaiah sensed. And it says in verse 5 like this, woe to me, for I am, oh praise God, woe to, not to somebody else, not to him, woe to him, no. Woe to her, no. Woe to him, no. Woe to somebody else, no. Woe to me, I am a sinner. And I want to tell you that is eternal truth. If you see truly the Lord who is sitting on the throne, you will know who you are in front of him. You will realize you are worthless, you are a sinner, you are completely useless in God. His magnitude is nothing we can stand in front of. If it leads us, you know, if you look at our lives, I want you to be honest. How many times have you fallen short of your own expectation? Yes or no? I have fallen short so many times. How many have fallen short of our own expectation? Just to give an example to the young people. Today you say that, today I will not lie. And then you go, first thing which happens is you have set your own standard, but you've fallen short of it yourself. If you have fallen short of your own standard, how can you even compare yourself to the standard of God? How can you even think about it, that you be in the presence of a holy God? Because the angels, they see the real form of this God who's sitting on the throne. And they, with their mouths, they declare, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And when we haven't met our standard, how do you expect to look at him? And that is why the cry comes from in ourselves, woe to me, I am a sinner. If you see the real God, and if you will sense, Isaiah sensed, that he is a worthless sinner, and a confession will break out from your mouth, I am unclean, I am a sinner, I am worthless to be in your presence. But you need to understand the grace of our living God. In order for that to understand, you know, you need to understand there is a verse which goes like this in Joel chapter 2. I will pour out my spirit in the end times. I will pour out my spirit in the end times. When did the end times start? I wonder. Everybody thinks that today is the end time. I'm not denying that. Have you ever wondered when end start? The word of God says, when I pour out my spirit. And that happened 2,000 odd years ago when the Holy Spirit was poured out onto the people on the day of Pentecost. From that day, God's timer end days has started. You have not understood the magnitude of that. From that day, God's end days have started, which means from that day till today, He could have come any time. But He didn't. And that is the grace of God. Because that wasn't why you and I could have been in a situation of not knowing this Lord come. He could have come when you were in the deepest of your sin and He could have you would have been left behind. But His mercy, His grace, that He has not come today, is still sitting on the throne because He is a gracious Lord. Hallelujah. He could have come any time when I was in my deepest sin, when I was away from Him and I didn't know Him. He could have come and I would have perished in eternal fire. But He kept me safe. He rescued me in His mercy. In His mercy. His mercy. I will see what Isaiah saw. I will sense what I sensed, that I am a sinner. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. And when that happens, I want to tell you, when that repentance, when that confession, when you declare, the Lord will take a coal from the altar. He will cleanse you. He will cleanse you from your lips all the way down to your entire body. That is how gracious the Lord is. I will sense what Isaiah sends. And the last thing, and I will declare and close with this. I will not only see what Isaiah saw, I will sense what Isaiah sensed, but say what Isaiah said. I will say what Isaiah said. And that is in verse number 8. What it is? Yes. Yeah. Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. This is my prayer to you, KPCT Church. In this year 2024. Yeah, I heard about all the pastor was preaching the on this day. And I heard about all the requests which we have as a church. But this should be our greatest prayer. Lord, I see you, I sense what Isaiah sensed, that I am a sinner, and I will say, Isaiah said, that I go where you sent me. I will go where you want me to go. How many of you make that your prayer? I will go. There are many people who are perishing out there. But I want to tell you that never go unless you see the Lord, unless you set. Sense yourself who you are. Don't veer into I will go or I will say that I will go unless you finish the first two steps. Because it is a progression. There are many people who jump into the last thing and they meet up. But you, it's a warning. It is a declaration. It is a statement of reality. I will go only once I see you and once I say who I am and I have changed. Let that be our prayer. I want all of you to rise up to your feet. I want all of you to rise up to your feet. As we close our eyes this morning, and I want to call up on the team to come forward as we worship as well. I want all of you, all the eyes closed. I want you to understand what the Word of God has been speaking to us today. And it says like this, Lord, I will see you. You are still sitting on the throne. I thank and praise you, Lord. I thank and praise you for everything you've done. I thank you, Lord, for what you are. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for who you are. Still the throne. Hallelujah. I want all of you to raise up your voices and declare a praise and say, thank you, Lord, you are still sitting on the throne. No matter our disease, no matter our sickness, no matter what we go through, our circumstance, no matter what it is, you are still sitting on the throne. Lord, I sense what Isaiah sense, I am a sinner. I sense I am a sinner, Lord. I sense that I am worthless in your sense. I have fallen short of my own standards. How can I stand in front of you? Praise God. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for your grace, O Lord. Lord, this is our prayer as a church. I hope some of us raise our voices and say, I will say, Lord, here I am, sent. That is what our church needs, O Lord. Despite all the uncertainty which is ahead of us, I pray that, Lord, you are in our presence. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence.